Let me open us with prayer. Our Father, we thank you that we can meet together here as well as online. We believe that the Spirit does join us together. We share unity not only with each other, but with Christ. And he is not joining us online, but through the Spirit, he, his body in heaven, in the heavenly places, joins with us here, the Father, the Son, dwell in our hearts and in our midst through the work of the Spirit. We believe it, we thank you for it, and we treasure it to think that as we come together, Christ has promised to particularly and especially be in our presence. So nourish us from a brief time in your word. Hear our prayers, encourage us, and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now tonight, we're going to look at Mark 10 for just a few thoughts before we go into prayer. Mark 10, starting at verse 46. And this is the story of Bartimaeus. And I'll read it, and then we'll go through it. So Mark 10, 46 through 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Well, let's go through this passage. We start in verse 46. This verse tells us, one thing it tells us is that our needs are great. We have significant problems, significant deficits. We have afflictions. Bartimaeus's was that he was blind, and this was something that ruled his life. It significantly prevented him from entering into things. It affected what he was able to do for his living. But the blindness speaks not only of just a physical affliction, but also speaks of spiritual blindness. When we are unable to see spiritually, we're not able to interpret the world. We don't know how to tell what we see, even though our eyes see it. We don't know how to interpret ourselves, the things that are going on with us, the things that are not wired right, that aren't going right, the emotions that come out, and we can't stop them from ruling us, it feels like. We can't interpret the world, ourselves, and when we have spiritual blindness, we can't interpret God. And before we come to know Christ, we have all these ideas about what God would be like, how God would run things, how God should run things, what will end up happening at the end of our lives. But we're just blind until that spiritual blindness is removed. We're told in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. He can't know them if you are a natural man. It is nothing short of common grace and semi-miraculous work of God if someone who's not a believer understands and even agrees with some aspects of biblical truth. And they do, and we should be thankful for that. But their foolishness to him, he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. The things that are true, that are of the Lord, that are disclosed in his word, they're only spiritually discerned. And if you don't have the Spirit of God working, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you will not discern them and you are spiritually blind. And where do you end up when you are in this state of being blind? Well, we wander into meaningless pursuits, wasted struggles with others and with our own life situation. That's all you can do when you're blind. Now, not only are our needs great with respect to the affliction, the blindness that we have, but look at what Bartimaeus was doing. He's sitting by the road begging. When you are blind spiritually, you may be at the top of the world, but essentially you are still a beggar. You've got nothing. You've got nothing worthwhile in your bank account, in your house full of stuff, in your relationships. And you're always going to be craving, begging, needing more. It doesn't satisfy, and it also doesn't work. So our needs are great. That's verse 46. Verse 47, though, what do we see with Bartimaeus? We see that our hope can be great. Our hope can be great in verse 47. What does Bartimaeus do? He calls to Jesus, sitting there as a beggar who can't even see. He just hears Jesus is passing by. He has hope in Jesus, and he calls out to Jesus. Jesus, he knows something about the truth about Jesus. He knows that Jesus is the Son of David, and for Jews in that day and time, that is code language. That goes all the way back and is attached very firmly to 2 Samuel 7, the Son of David, who would be the King of Israel, the Messiah, who would have an everlasting throne that would never end, a reign that would last forever. And he says, Jesus is this Son of David. And he says, this Son of David is the one who can have mercy on me with my suffering. He can change my suffering. Now, we might look at this, and especially as you've grown in your faith and understanding of the gospel, you might be thinking, well, now wait, he's just asking for his blindness to be cured, right? We've had other people come to Jesus, and Jesus talks about forgiveness of sins. Is he asking for forgiveness of sins here? Is this just surface good works? Is this just social gospel? And to be honest, he doesn't ask for forgiveness, and forgiveness is not brought up here, and that's okay. We don't know exactly where Bartimaeus was. We do know he knows something about Jesus being the Son of David and that eternal King, the Messiah. But what's presented here is that he has trust in Jesus and hope in Jesus. And so he brings this big limitation, this big impairment, and he knows that Jesus is the one. He has his hope set on Jesus can have mercy on me and change this. So what we are called to do ourselves is to reflect. You know, I know who the Messiah is. It's Jesus Christ. I know that he has power. Do you have a big impairment, a big limitation in your life right now? If I were to ask you, if Jesus could change something in you or for you right now, what would it be? Now, you may say something like, oh, I could use a lot more money. Okay. Or I have a medical problem. I've got eyesight deterioration. Okay. I've got a significant relationship that is burning down. It's taking up everything. It's severely limited my ability to keep on functioning because this is dominating my heart and my head 24/7. Whatever it is, do you have some kind of massive impairment now that you, when you were in your best state of mind, could say, I could take this to Jesus and ask him to have mercy on me? So we have great needs, verse 46. We have hope that can be great, verse 47 in Jesus. Now, verse 48, we also have testing. We have testing. And what we see here in this verse is we have people discouraging us from taking our need to Jesus. And you might think, wait, okay, when does that ever happen? Well, you can have discouragement from the world. You might have discouragement from the world saying, you've got a medical problem, or you've got a relational problem, or you've got an emotional problem, or you've got a financial problem. Why are you bringing Jesus into this? You might have discouragement from the church. They might just say, you know, that problem is not such a problem. You're just thinking about this wrong. You actually don't have a problem. Or they might say, you know, you want to be realistic about this. Don't expect a great display of power from your Lord and your Christ. Keep your expectations manageable. Or you may be discouraged just because they put you off and they just say, guys, You keep your problems to yourself. What we're here for is Bible study. And it's perhaps not meant intentionally lovelessly, but it is loveless, and we're discouraged. You may be discouraged from bringing your problem to Jesus because of yourself. You might think, I've brought this to Jesus for 10 years now and nothing's changed. I just have to give up, or I'm not worthy of him answering and displaying his power at his time. Now that's, we have our faith, our hope in Jesus tested. But we also, as hard as we might be on other people and maybe even the church, look at what happens in the next verse. As soon as Jesus speaks, the people who are discouraging Bartimaeus are now, he's like, cheer up, he's calling you, come on, come on. They're saying, stop, 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 don't come to Jesus. Wrong problem, wrong situation, wrong context. Now they're saying, great, this is the time, come on, get right up to the front. He's calling you. So, we understand why Jesus said he did not entrust himself to a man, because he knew what was in a man. We are trying, for believers, we are really trying. Sometimes we don't try, but we are trying. We do love one another. We do trust in Christ. We want to bring people to Jesus, but we mess it up too. We're like these people are not anti-Christians. These people are not the world. These are the great multitude who are walking on the road with Jesus, where we are, where we want to be. And we do that to one another. We don't want to, we don't try to consciously, but we do that. But Jesus is at the center. And he knows when it's time to revive our confidence in him. And so he tells them, call Bartimaeus to come to me. And they say, he's calling you. And there's something that you want to observe here. If you're like Bartimaeus and you want to go to Jesus and you want to be near to him, it's because he wants to be near to you. Which came first? It's the work of the Spirit in our hearts. And that's what excites our faith and gives us a longing to be with Christ and to come to Christ. And so if you want Jesus, like Bartimaeus does, it's because he wants to be with you and he wants to help you. And so Jesus encourages his faith and says that he's calling to you. Jesus is looking for blind beggars. He's looking for people with problems. And so the question you want to ask yourself that comes from this text is there anything right now that is keeping you out of the company of the people who are following Jesus? Now, we have these times in our lives where the fellow believers, they do wrong. And they we're knocked back by some of the things they say or how they slight us or how they overlook us. We do that to one another. And then we sometimes respond when we receive that with just thinking, wow, that hurt. I'm just going to pull back for a while. Check out from being in this company of people who vacillate with doing what we would want to do ideally and of encouraging people to come together, to follow Christ, to be together. Is there anything or anyone keeping you out of the company of the people following Jesus? So then we come to verse 51. What is it? Jesus asks Bartimaeus. This is prayer backwards, but this is part of how the Lord works. Jesus asks Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Now that is a verse that's worth having sink in. We know that prayer is our request, our expressions of gratitude lifted up. But do you realize that when we come to Jesus with our needs, this is part of prayer too. He asks, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus asks Jesus, turn my life around. I want to see. Now, the whole thing is all wrapped up by verse 52. He immediately receives his sight, and it's his faith that has been activated and has trigger this. But we're left with this question. Am I going to bring my big problem today with Jesus? And am I going to keep entering into the company of people who are following Jesus? I want to give you a gospel encouragement as we close this. And it comes from later in Mark chapter 15. So in our passage that we looked at tonight, Jesus gave sight to a blind man. And it took faith. Jesus says, your faith has made you well. It took faith in Bartimaeus, believing that Jesus was the son of David, the Messiah, the chosen one, and that he would be willing and that he could. But all that Bartimaeus did was exercise that faith and say, this is what I want, Jesus. Why do we have any confidence that we can come to Jesus and that even if people are saying, not now, be quiet, he's trying to teach, that Jesus actually wants us to come to him and is willing? Well, Mark 15, verses 33 and 34, Jesus is on the cross. And it says, now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? What we're told in this passage is that for 3 hours, when Jesus hung on the cross, he was covered in a literal and a spiritual darkness. It was a blindness that came on him. The literal darkness kept his eyes from seeing. It was literally dark in the land for 3 hours. The spiritual darkness kept him from seeing the presence of his Father. Why have you forsaken me? So what we're told here is that Jesus was blinded on the cross so that we could know the light of his face and his favor. We can be certain that Jesus wants us to come to him and to be with him because of what he did, because he went through that blindness so that we could have light and see his face. We can be certain that he entered into that greatest of darknesses to bring us into the brightest light of his presence. So let's come to him and bring our great requests. Amen.